Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? You get what you need. I got an interesting email this week. He said
that she is struggling with her husband's sexual addiction and she wants to know what to do. Well, you have come to the right place. This is the place where you can get information to really take your life to the next level. And I am so glad to be with you tonight. You know, we offer so many topics on sexual addiction recovery. We talk about treatment centers. We talk about intensives that you can do. We talk about workshops that are available in your city, books that you need to read. And tonight, I am really pleased to be talking about something that is very, very unusual. It truly is not your typical treatment modality, but it is one that can take you to serenity and take you to finding your power within, finding your power within to heal. Sarah Schulting-Kranz is a co-active life coach, and she is a wilderness first responder. She has a business called Live Boldly Coaching. And she really works diligently to help people to find their strength deep within by taking them through a series of nature experiences. You know, she takes them to the mountains and she helps them to find out what are their skills, what are their strengths, what are their values. You know, it seems like values have been so important in my life in the last few weeks, I got to tell you. I am doing a Brené Brown course, and if you have ever heard of Brené Brown, she wrote Daring to be Great. And she is a woman, a sociologist, who discovered that vulnerability is key to taking the risks that you need to take to make your life better. And that starts with values. What are your values? What are most important to you? Maybe it's honesty. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's integrity. Maybe it's loyalty. What are those values that mean the most in your life? Because if you can isolate two or three of those values, then you can look at what you need to do in your life to make your life better. Now, okay, so I'm taking this course, right? And I find myself to be a fairly well-adjusted person. If I erred, if I erred in terms of cheating myself out of something, I know to be true that I work too much. I see 55 clients a week. I have this radio show. I write columns for magazines, newspapers, and blogs. I am excited about disseminating information. But I said when I turned 60, which was in November, I said I'm going to make more downtime for me, and I'm going to slow it down. And if you remember, if you've listened to any of my other shows, one of the things that Patrick Carnes asked of me was he said, Carol, I do believe you qualify for workaholism, and I want you to start going to meetings, 12-step meetings, and assessing yourself. Well, I know I'm a workaholic. I mean, when I was 25, I was told by supervisors and professionals that I would burn out by the time I was 30. Well, here I am twice that old, 60, and I'm not one bit burnt out. I love what I do. But he really said, and you've heard me say it before, that when you're a workaholic, three things need to change. A, your relationships are not as great as you thought they were, and they're suffering, so slow it down. B, your brain needs to rest. And C, you're not as good of a therapist as you think you are. Well, you know, I don't have to doubt the master. There are great masters in all of our lives. When you think about your life and who you can trust to give you good information, who are your masters? I'm here to tell you, Patrick Carnes is one of my masters. Even though my husband says, Carol, you're not a workaholic, I get that I've conditioned him to believe that this is normal. I know that working this much is not healthy. So in listening to Brené Brown, I said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start Xing out some spots in my schedule, and I'm not going to fill them. And I'm going to take off Friday afternoons, and I'm going to work less hours on the weekend. Now, I did all those things, but guess what? Since I did them, it's been 2 weeks, and I have not stayed true to my own. I have filled every one of my exes, including my Friday afternoons off, and I know that what I'm going to need is help with this. Now, there are no 12-step groups here in Indianapolis, so I'm probably going to have to get online and start attending those groups. So I'm going to keep you posted. I'm going to do that while you continue to work on SA or SAA. And if you're a partner, you need to be going to Marsha Means groups, or you need to be looking up sexhelp.com and finding out who has partner groups, or you need to be going to APSATS. That is the partner's training, and they will give you groups for you, because I'm kind of silly. One of the things I tell all my addicts is that you're not strong enough to do this on your own. And so I don't know why I think I'm strong enough to do it on my own. I think I've proven to myself that I am not strong enough to do it on my own. So here's my commitment to you. It is March 7th. And my commitment to you is that in the next week, I will explore online workaholics meetings, and I will have attended two. And I'll come back and let you know what I think. Now, it may not be next week, because I have Sean Leadham coming on, and he's going to be talking about an exciting project that he and his mother and father have going on. You know the Leadhams, Elaine and John Leadham. They've written lots of books, and they really help couples to take their life to the next level. And Sean is going to be talking about what exactly they're doing, and they're actually taking applicants right now. So it may be the following week. So let's see, that'd be the 21st, that I'm going to hold myself accountable, and check in with you all and let you know how I'm doing with this workaholism. Now, why do I talk about workaholism? Because I guarantee you there are some sex addicts out there and partners out there that have the same disorder. They've got the same addiction, but they get praised for it. You know, we do. We get praised for it. I just did my taxes. I've made more money than one ever has a right to. And yet Patrick Carnes would say, you are crazy. You should be making that amount of money and working half the hours. And he's probably right, or at least sort of right. I'm one of those clinicians that takes insurance. I kind of want to pay it forward. And so I don't make as much as I could per hour. I just work lots of hours. How about you? How is your life going? You know, as I assessed my clients this week, it's only Monday, but what I know to be true is I've got a client right now, and he is really working on deal-breaking behaviors. He's doing a great job. And yet, when his wife asks him how he's doing or whether he's doing quote-unquote well, you know, that's what partners say. They say, did you do good today? Were you good today? Well, that really means, did you act out today? Did you have triggers today? How was your day today? He says fine when, in essence, he knows that he has run into people or had conversations with people that his wife does not want him to have. You know, I've got another guy, and he is really working hard on his recovery, but he happens to click on cookies and pop-ups that will take him down the rabbit hole. You know, it's not porn, but it's women in bikinis, or it's NFL players, or it's NFL wives. You know, I know that this stuff is really, really hard. It's in your face 24/7. I know that. But you have to get to the point where you say to yourself, is this moving me towards recovery or away from it? And you have to really make the right choice. But the only way I know that you can make the right choice is if you're doing so many things in your life that you feel strong. I have a fairly new client who said to me today, he's not working a strong program. I'm like the Rottweiler. I'm like saying, you know what? You're not going to succeed until you work a stronger program. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just telling you a fact is a fact. And he says to me, Carol, are you saying that every person in sex addiction recovery has to follow the same path? I don't agree with that. Well, what I know to be true is that it's probably not true. However, what he's doing is he is either in denial or he's minimizing or he's rationalizing the reasons that he has not done what he needs to do. You know, he's moved to a new area, and he has contacted one of the SAA members that we told him to contact, but has he been to a meeting? No, and he's lived there a month. That's not good enough. Has he done online groups? No, that's not good enough. Has he done his recovery start kit? That is a $400 kit that takes you through the first 130 days. It is an amazing process. He bought the kit. He's not done the work. Does that sound like he's working to you? No. And so when I call him on that, he says to me, now, Carol, does one size fit all? Are you saying that every single sex addict has to do it this way? And what I say is no, but I also know that he's not working. And I'm not going to let him get by with that. I mean, I can't control him. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm going to be in his face about the fact that if he wants true recovery, he's going to have to work harder. And then he says to me, and I think a lot of you can probably relate to this, and if you're a partner, you've probably heard it before. He says to me, you know what, Carol? I am not seeking prostitutes. Therefore, I should not have to work so hard. I mean, okay, I look at a little porn once in a while, but I'm not looking at prostitutes. I'm not calling them. I'm not cruising. I am staying out of that super, super deal-breaking behavior. Well, what this person doesn't know, we'll call him Tom. What Tom doesn't know, even though I've told them a million times it has not registered, is that as long as he's looking at porn, he is not going to be able to stay clean, because that porn opens up the reward center in his brain and it makes him vulnerable today, tomorrow, a week from now. It makes him vulnerable to acting out. So tonight, we're going to be talking about a unique way to find recovery, to get to know yourself, to actually empower yourself by establishing and connecting with your own values, and then discovering who you truly are. And we have Sarah on the line, and she is an amazing coach who actually facilitates this kind of endeavor. Sarah, welcome to the Sex Help with Carol the Coach show.
Hi, Carol. It's nice to talk with you and your audience.
Well, absolutely. And this is truly, we have never had anybody on who helps people to understand their values, find their courage, and then metaphorically takes them through nature, which then helps them to discover their internal strengths to fight their own addictions. So I'm really excited about finding out more about this program. Tell me a little bit about how you got started with this endeavor of taking people, helping them understand their values, and then playing it out in nature.
So I'm honored to be the first person to be speaking with you about this. That's fabulous.
I bet. And you've actually got something going on, right?
I do. It's wonderful. So it started about 3 years ago when my husband, I had been married for about 17 years at the time, and I found out Thanksgiving morning that he was actually, that he's a sex addict. And he also is addicted to drugs and alcohol. And so through all of that, I really empowered myself to figure out how I, as the partner, could heal and become a better person because of it, while also helping him to find himself and his authentic self. So what I ended up doing, and I had already been doing this throughout my life, I'm a very adventurous person, and I will climb and hike anything that's around me. And I live in California, so I'm by the ocean, and I paddle the Pacific Ocean continuously. And I mean, I'm 4 miles offshore with whales. And it really was there that I realized that for my healing was really being honored. And that's where I was really becoming clear in my own life and finding my clarity as to what I could do to help others, but also by helping myself. And by helping my husband. Fast forward a little bit, my husband actually, through all of this, we had several discussions, and the clarity and authentic self of him, of himself, came out, and he is gay on top of it. So that alone really empowered me to realize where I was coming from in terms of my own healing process. And I also had a lot of friends that were, once it all established and people started finding out, they couldn't believe how actually fine I am and how I really am a happier person because of the path that I took and how I wouldn't trade a moment in my life for anything. And from there, I became a life coach. And from there, I realized that I was really onto something with this whole healing process and what it was doing. to really allow people to find themselves and their values and their courage and to find clarity to move forward. So that's kind of the gist of it in a nutshell.
Well, yeah, and that's where another person might have ended up being a feeling a victim and feeling like they were disempowered and not knowing what they could do. And you actually chose to face your fears head on, deal with the issue, and use it as an opportunity to create a new journey for you. And, of course, we always say that when you're making the biggest difference is when you take your own issues, you grow from them, and then you pay them forward and pass them on to other people and help them to grow too.
Absolutely. 100% believe in that. Absolutely.
Okay.
I was hiking the Grand Canyon a lot, and I was really finding the metaphors in life with when you really establish and find your own values, and when you start making these decisions moving forward from a resonant place, and how when you are then allowing yourself from that resonant place to heal and not become a victim, and then to metaphorically be walking and hiking, you know, trail after trail after trail, and seeing the different perspectives in life and how really small you are in this world, but yet how big of an impact you can have by moving forward and helping other people. It's a real beautiful place to be. So, yes. Yes. It's transcending, and it's you know, it's moving up and down all of the trails and really understanding the fortitude of moving forward.
Well, absolutely. And you know, obviously, probably took you, a couple of years to kind of look at your situation and grow from it and get your bearings?
You know, it took me probably about a year and a half, I would say. I do have three boys. We have three sons, marvelous sons, very athletic sons as well. So, you know, for me it was also, that was kind of the foundation to moving forward, and I was creating that foundation so that my boys could know the power of safety within still this family unit that we decided to hold on to. Coincidentally, I mean, my divorce papers got filed today. So this is a very beautiful day for me. It's a journey in itself, sitting here talking to you on the radio about this process that I've gone through. And then my papers were filed today. So it's great. So I'm honored to be here with you on that day, but it is really,
oh yeah. We're honored to have you because again, it'll be easy to want to believe that, you know, you're devastated, you can't deal with this, you're just going to kind of take it day by day, and you have taken this to the next level. So when did you decide, okay, I'm going to become a coach, and then how did that shape what you decided to do?
So I actually last March, I was a teacher prior to moving here. So the creative side of life has always been in my blood because I was an art teacher and I oversaw an art department when I lived in Wisconsin. So I moved out to California and raised the children, but still felt like I was still coaching as a parent as well, not realizing how much I was really doing until I became a life coach and realized so many of the attributes and the things that I was teaching my children were the same kind of things that enable you as a life coach to help other people. And so it just seemed like it fit. It just fit like a puzzle piece. And so I started that at last March. I actually started my coaching certification. And coincidentally, I led a group of people, 10 people, into the Grand Canyon in May. And while I was at the bottom at Phantom Ranch, this gentleman came up to me from REI, who happens to be a guide, and he said, well, you must be a guide. And I said, not yet, not realizing what I said. And I thought, oh, my gosh, maybe this was a spirit saying to me, you need to be a guide and do this as well, because this is what you're doing, is you're literally, like, I was having so much fun taking these people into the Grand Canyon and experiencing this with them and watching them grow, but not even really from that life coaching standpoint. And so I knew at that moment, it was like somebody dropped a rock on my head and said, you have something here. You need to do something with this. And so that's when I decided at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. How interesting is that? And that's what I do now. So, throughout the process.
Can I ask you, the people that you took to the Grand Canyon, were they explorers? Were they addicts? Were they looking to find their purpose and passion? How did you find them?
It's interesting. People just came. Some of them just came to me. Some of them found out through other people that this is what I do. Other people, you know, it was just kind of a randomness, like, oh, so somebody through somebody else would, you know, came and joined the group. A couple of them I did know and just wanted to do it with me. That's just kind of how I live my life. It's kind of an open book. And so, you know, people just kind of find me, and then that's interesting, as I was listening to you prior to about continuously working and helping other people. That's just what I do. That's a part of my life purpose. So I was just taking all different kinds of people. Most of them were people that most people I find when they go into the canyon, if they think that they need a shape-shifting experience or not, it just gives it to them. It doesn't matter. They come out a different person. You come out a different person. And, you know, I'm sure that if it's, you know, one person next to the other person that's guiding them, you're going to have a different experience with somebody else. But I did find that with the people that I took and that I do take, I think it's just my training that you really know how to tap into people and get them to experience it as a journey and not just a hype.
Absolutely. So you say, in some ways, it starts with values. You help them to figure out what are their values.
Absolutely.
So can you describe what a value is and some of the common values that people either want to subscribe to or figure out that they are actually filled with that value?
Absolutely. It's interesting. My clients, when I'm meeting with my clients, that's the first thing that we start with is what are your values? We uncover them. And the way that we uncover them is through past or present experiences, be it good or bad. I think that for a lot of people, they lose sight of their values because we're, as humans, always giving to other people. And so as we're always giving to other people and always seeming to take on other people's stuff, you sometimes lose what's really important to you. And so standing in your values is the best way for you to truly get back to who you are and what you really mean as a human being. And so an example of a value would be, it's the basis of who you are. So it's safety. Safety is huge. Communication. It would be, you know, love, honesty. There's thousands of them that people walk over all the time and don't even realize, oh, that's what you value. I value time. I value friendship so much. And I value my family more than anything. That would be why I'm where I am right now, because I truly, truly, truly value my family. So it's those things, though, that really, once you tap into them, that's where the resonant choices come from. That's where you start to find your inner strength to move forward.
So give me two or three of your values that you know that you've acquired either before you had this revelation about your marriage or as a result of the revelation.
So I would say the biggest one that's always been huge for me, there's three that just right away popped into me. Family is clearly my biggest. My immediate family, but also my extended family. I will do anything for my family. Communication is huge. Communication is so big for me. I think that was the one that really hit me the most, through all of this was that David couldn't communicate that with me, what was going on within him. And as much as we love each other, we're, you know, incredible friends. We've known each other for over 20 years. That was a hard one for me to realize that as much as he was communicating with me, that communication was being really kind of stepped on in my value of communication and honesty. As honest as he wasn't honest with himself. And so that was really hard for me to take. That I know how much that he values honesty as well, and it was very difficult for him to be honest with himself and thus with me. So, yeah, those would be my three biggest ones. Prior
okay.
to that, I also
and so when you're
I
with people and they're actually, they know that they're going to undertake quite a physical challenge, whether it's climbing up a mountain or being out in nature or hiking. How do you help them figure that out?
How do I help them figure out their values?
Absolutely.
So how I help them figure out their values is literally we go through it every single time. There's not a session that I don't work with my clients about values. What value are you honoring in doing this trip? What value are you honoring in choosing to take that path instead of this one? What value within yourself are you honoring by taking too big of a pack that's way too overloaded? That's kind of a metaphor for what happens in people's lives. You end up taking other people's big backpack when all you really need is a small one to walk through this particular hike that you're doing. And what fills in it? And what are you valuing by filling your pack with other people's stuff? By filling it with what you choose to fill it with. So it's all about that, those kinds of things, but then continuously tapping back into that and answering that question for yourself every time that you make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I really try to instill that in my clients. Before you make that choice, what are you valuing? And is it really your value?
Well, that makes total sense. So now,
mm-hmm.
then they... for a specific hike that you're doing. I mean, you're getting ready to do one right now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am. I'm taking, there's actually still some spots open. So this one came up very suddenly. Mm-hmm. They happen to have an opening at the bottom of the Grand Canyon for the night of May 1st. And so we're going on April 30th, and we hike down South Kaibab Trail on May 1st. And, we will be stopping along the way. We go slow because I'm people. And quite
sure.
frankly, this is a journey that should be explored, not something that needs to be, you know, reached quickly. And it allows more time for self-reflection and perspective taking on and really to understand that, you know, you're walking through something that was created over, my gosh, so many years. And so it's like, it's just like life. It takes years to work through this and to really understand yourself. So we are doing that on May 1st, and then we stay at the bottom for one night. There is another hike that I take people to, and I do little exercises with them to make them understand a little bit more about what perhaps that has been happening within their own life. So we do little group exercises, not anything too big. And it's really cool because you can see from this one perspective when you're down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you can turn and actually see the path that you just came down. You can see the entire South Kaibab Trail. So it's really, really cool to be down there and to say, wow, I just did that. That brought me here. And now I'm over on this other side of the Colorado River. And then the next day we hike out and we do an extra little 1 mile hike off of Bright Angel Trail, if anybody's familiar with the Grand Canyon. And it's a beautiful little hike that allows you to see the Grand Canyon and where you just were from an entirely different perspective.
Right.
So it's all about transcending and the path and the all of the switchbacks and the continual back and forth of life. So it's very cool. It's very, very cool.
Well, and how can people get a hold of you if they're interested in this endeavor?
So I actually, my company name is Live Boldly Coaching, And my my Gmail, I have an email account, and it's liveboldlycoaching@gmail.com, or they could call me, which is fine. I'm a very easy to get hold of. It's 414-698-8899.
Okay, again, that's 414-698-8898, or liveboldlycoaching.com. And so let me ask you a little bit. This had to really take some courage on your part to want to take people through this experience. And you've obviously had life experience where you recognized that you were courageous and you did take risks and you are a survivor and family is important and you want people to know their potential. So I've got to ask you, because clearly when people are thinking about this kind of endeavor, they may ask themselves, how can this help me emotionally? And certainly this helps people to know their own strengths, to set their own boundaries. In some ways, it's a metaphor. It can be a metaphor for their life. So talk a little bit about the boundaries that people work through, especially addicts, you know, sex addicts,
right.
Partners. They've been through such trauma. Tell me about the boundaries that they can learn about by doing a trip like this.
Oh, absolutely. I do really want, really quickly want to, my phone number, it's actually the last four digits, it's 8899.
Oh, 8899, thank you.
Correct, yes, no problem, yes, no problem.
So let's go over that one time. For anybody who's interested, phone number is 414-698-8899.
Correct, yes.
Right, got
thank
it.
You. And so the boundary setting, boundary setting is really interesting in that when I started doing a lot of boundary setting with my clients, difficult. Boundary setting is very difficult because people continuously, I think, throughout their life have their boundaries kind of pushed or pulled a little bit and they don't want them to be and it's hard to set them. So we go over that prior to the hike. We do in this particular program that I'm going to be doing is 10 weeks of coaching along with the hike. And so we do 6 weeks of coaching prior to, which actually begins next week. And they're 1.5-hour Zoom calls. And so you're with the entire group, which is a beautiful thing because you get to meet people from all over. And you have the experiences with other people. And you get to learn from other people that have been there or are there. So with the boundary setting, we start right away in the beginning. We establish our designed alliance, and we boundary set with each other. This is what is acceptable for me. We learn to use our voice and to speak from a resonant place, again, resonant place, that allows us to feel safe. So, for example, I may say, I'm not okay with people. I would prefer people to not get up and walk away during the 1.5-hour session. To me, that is something where I find that it makes me uncomfortable, okay? And so it steps on a value for me of time, quite frankly, time management, because it's really difficult then to establish this with everybody at one time. So, but then prior to that, so we start with that. And then as we work through the 10 weeks of coaching, before we hit the canyon, before we actually even do the canyon, we learn at the top of the canyon, how do we set boundaries going in? What makes us feel safe? What can make us feel safe with each other? What is a boundary for yourself in order to be able to do this? What is going to make you be able to do this in a courageous and safe way that you can set a boundary for yourself and know, I'm going to feel comfortable with this group and I'm going to be able to make it through this hike by setting boundaries that are there for me and for them. So we spend a good week and a half all about boundaries and how to establish your boundaries and what that means within the family, because we are a family going through this experience together. So that's about setting boundaries within your own family as well.
Absolutely. And so obviously boundaries that you just shared on about you don't want people to get up in the midst of
right.
presentation or the teaching or the class. Boundaries for a typical couple, what would you say a boundary would be?
Typical couple, so for example, a boundary for, you know, can I use myself as an example? Is that okay? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so a boundary for me is, a new boundary for me, now that we are in our new normal, is prior to you coming over to the house, I would expect a phone call, just so I know that there is another body coming into my home, because it's a safety thing for me. If that door opens or unlocks, I need to know who's coming through it. Otherwise, ring the doorbell. So that's a boundary that I have had to set, a new boundary for me, which was very difficult for me to do because I'm also really good friends with him. But I also know my value of safety. So that's one example.
And that's a great one. You know, when I'm thinking of partners of sex addicts, and you and I have both been trained by APSATs, you know, boundaries may mean when I have talked enough, I'm going to get up and excuse myself and work on some self-care. Or, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to request that we participate in a check-in twice a week. Or, you know, what I'm going to expect you to do is to help me the kids to bed, you know, and it truly boundaries are about those expectations that help people to determine what they will and won't do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you know, you did talk about how hiking and the use of metaphors are important to one in their journey. And it's interesting because I studied with a psychiatrist called Milton Erickson, and he was all about looking at your life as a metaphor. So when I run groups, oftentimes I will have them draw a picture of the metaphor in their life. And when I'm working with partners, you know, a partner may draw a stretched out rubber band, and she'll say, oh my gosh, you know, my life is like a rubber band. I just don't think I can stretch any further. I am stretched beyond belief. Or I may have an addict who says, I am like the Grim Reaper. I am the walking dead. I can't feel. I have done so much damage and destruction that I'm just like that Grim Reaper. I'm dark and I have no real emotions. I've shut them all down. So tell me a bit about how you use metaphors in this wonderful coaching program where not only are you discovering yourself, but you're getting to explore both nature and your own capabilities.
Right, yeah. So it's interesting. I will use this one metaphor that came up. During the last time that we went on the hike, this last May, there was the group that I was with, it was raining. Oh my gosh, was it raining? It rained, it hailed, it snowed, it was sunny. You couldn't hit anything else. It was hot and it was cold. And
wow.
that alone was a metaphor for life. And so we were all talking about that, how it's every season. You have every season in your life. That alone is a metaphor. And we hit Indian Garden going out on Bright Angel Trail, and they didn't want to go out to the point that I really wanted them to go to. And I said, you know, I think this is really important. We need to do this. And so they reluctantly did, and we got out there, and one of the girls wanted to see a condor, and down swooped the condor. I mean, that was a metaphor right there. The condor is just insanely beautiful. It soars. And if you know anything about a condor, their wingspan, they're gorgeous. And they're actually very difficult to find in the Grand Canyon. So then we kept walking. It did lightning, which was very interesting for it to be lightning there as well. And then out of the blue, this insanely beautiful rainbow came over the Grand Canyon. out of right over the Colorado River. And so we all went over, we looked at the side, and we just said, my gosh, that alone is a metaphor. You know, they didn't want to be pushed. They were so upset that I was taking them out to this point. And we got out there, and they were so happy that they chose to take that extra mile, that one extra mile, get them to see that rainbow. So it was just this moment of absolute peace where it was, wow, look at this. This right here is a metaphor for life. So literally, it's, you know, there's just so many throughout this entire thing. It's even just the Colorado River just creating this immense space that is like the blood flow, you know? I mean, it's incredible. And so you really can go on and on and on. I at the end of it, I do ask them to find one metaphor that actually could fit the experience of what they just went through. If it's a butterfly, you know, the changing from, you know, into this insane butterfly or whatever it is, I do ask them to find a metaphor just for the experience of it all.
Yeah, what is cool is that obviously I was talking about kind of the trauma metaphors that represent their life, but by the end of the group or the end of their individual therapy with me, they have to come up with a metaphor that describes who they are. And so that in and of itself may be, they may have felt stretched beyond belief. Now they're like a full plate that is not full. You know, it's not,
right.
It has plenty of opportunity for self-care and rest. And it sounds like on your hiking trips, some of the things they actually experience and see in nature helps them to know that life is going to be good, that they're going to see beauty, that they're going to see strength and experience amazing things that probably other people don't get to experience.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. It's, you know, it is very interesting even just watching when you're taking people down those very first steps, because it's very, it's emotional. It's emotional. That first mile down, it catches you, because you know that you're going someplace that less than, I think it's 5%, or is it 3% of the population goes to? I mean, you really, it's a very small amount of people that actually are given this opportunity to do something like this. Because it is very hard to get reservations, quite frankly. So it is a difficult place to be able to hike into, only because it's very difficult to stay down there. And it's such a gift.
Absolutely.
But then watching them come out, oh, it's such a gift. But watching them come out after all of this, mesmerizing. I cry every time. And I've done it so many times. Just because it changes you every single time.
Yeah, and I'm thinking how rewarding for you that you get to watch the transformation that occurs in your clients' lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
It's a definite gift.
And, you know, I certainly the coaching process, because I'm a life coach too, and your coaching process as well as hiking can really shift a person's perspective. You know, we're always looking for things that can occur that are metaphors for the entire being. So I suspect that one of the ways that this shifts a perspective is it reminds people of the strengths that they didn't even know they had, like going that extra mile, two or three, to see the rainbow at the summit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
so
and
then,
we follow up after, oh, sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So you follow up.
So we do, so we follow up for 4 weeks of coaching post-trip. And the reason that we do that is because you are now a transformed person. You still are not, I mean, there's still room for growth, of course, but you really are a different person than you were before you went there. And so we follow up into even life purpose. How has this changed? How has this changed you for your life goals? Or how would you like to design your future? What would you like it to look like knowing now that you did such an just an incredible feat. And so it's really cool to be able to follow up with them for 4 weeks post and still see where does this go from there. Because you don't just want it to end. You need to be able to stretch it even further than where you were. And it's a real beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Right now, for our listening audience, I am talking with Sarah Schulting-Kranz, and she is a life coach who has business Live Boldly Coaching. And you can reach her at 414-698-8899. And she has opportunities for the next coaching. What would you say? It's more than a class because there are, did you say, coaching sessions?
There are 10 coaching sessions. Yeah, there's 6 prior to the hike, and then there's 4
right,
after.
And then the hike, and then
yeah.
4 more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's about a 12-week, it's approximately 3 months of the process, and we're starting our very first coaching session next week. And you don't have to live here. I have somebody from Wisconsin that's coming. I have people from all over. I mean, so it's not like you need to actually live here. People think that sometimes. Wait, do you have to live in Arizona or California? No, you don't. You don't. So we do all of the coaching sessions over Zoom, and so you do get to see the other people that are in the group with you.
Okay, and so for people that don't know, Zoom is like Skype, but you get to see everybody in their own environment. So you get to see what everybody looks like. You get to watch them interact and speak. It's an amazing opportunity to be in a group setting and still be in the comforts of your own office or your own home. And so, again, what Sarah offers is 6 sessions prior to the hike, and then the hike, and then 4 sessions post-hike to talk about, I would assume, not only the strengths that you've been in touch with and that you've acquired, but also the direction, purpose, and the passion that you want to live in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, for addicts and their partners, they can be so devastated by the trauma that they've experienced. And clearly, oftentimes, I meet with addicts and partners that are wanting one or two different experiences. One of the experiences is that they want to get away from the trauma, the drama, and the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get in touch with themselves. They don't know how to do that because it really does require that they focus on themselves and kind of get out of their own environment. And so this is an opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so now what has been your most difficult hike or guide, and how did you change that into a learning tool for those that you were guiding?
So my most difficult one would, it was right before during my entire, when I was going through everything. There was another gentleman within my group that I was going to be staying with, so that I was going to be hiking with. He chose to hike with me. And I should have listened. This is a learning experience for me, and that I should have listened to my gut. I was still learning how to build that muscle. And I didn't set my boundary the way that I should have. And I said, okay, are you sure you're okay with this? And my inner self was saying, you shouldn't be having him go with you. And I let him go with me. He was a triathlete. So I thought, please, he'll be fine. Well, we were doing rim to rim, which we're not doing on this trip, so it's fine. We were doing rim to rim from the south rim to the north rim. And he, halfway down, just bonked, which means he hit a wall. He just literally couldn't move anymore. And so the reason I was doing this rim to rim was because I was trying to discharge my own emotions that I was going through as the partner and finding clarity and wanting to really heal myself. And I learned at that moment, again, I was at the bottom of the canyon at Phantom Ranch, and I learned at that moment, this is not at all what I was supposed to be doing during this. Change that she was, I guess this is going to be my test of patience. And I do value patience. And I thought I had a lot of patience, and I learned that even my own patience could be stretched and that I could stretch them further and make it work. And so we were supposed to be out of the canyon by about, 3-4 o'clock, and we didn't get out until past, I think it was 8:30 or 9. And I walked him through it. It was a continual coaching experience. I didn't know I was going to be coaching on that trail, and I continuously coached him up the trail, all the way up North Kaibab. And it was a very good lesson for me that, you know, you go into something thinking one thing, and it could shift. And when it shifts, sometimes you just have to grab that and say, okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to make this a learning experience for me? What value am I going to get out of it? And what values can I honor by sitting in that space? And so it was a very long day. It was a great day.
And, you know, it's interesting because you said you didn't initially listen to your gut. Your gut was telling you. What was your gut telling you?
My gut was telling me, you need to ensure him that you will be fine alone and that you will meet him at the bottom of the canyon and you can hike the rest of it up together. And I didn't listen to myself. I didn't, because he was going down a separate trail than what I was going to be going down. And I could very well have met him up at the bottom and it would have been fine. But I didn't listen to myself. And that's the one thing that you also begin to learn through this is how to listen to yourself, how to listen to that gut instinct, that inner self, that you really do have it in you. And again, that also goes with setting the boundaries. I didn't set my boundary. So I learned. Made the best of it.
And that's what life is all about. There is no doubt about it. That is what you're made for, is to figure out what do you have to learn. And, you know, it's interesting because I always say, when you're trying to make a decision, you need to listen to what your head says. What does your intellect say? What are you telling yourself? How your heart feels? What emotions are there? And then what your gut tells you. And I say, you know, if you can't figure it out, if there aren't two that coincide with each other, it always go with your gut. But that takes being still and really paying attention to that knowing inside of you, because that will never steer you wrong.
Carol, you are so right on that. And I wish I would have had you sitting beside me that night, because you could have helped me with that one.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to do one of these trails. I mean, this sounds like a phenomenal experience. That's why I wanted to have you on the show, because so many of our addicts and partners are so entrenched in their day-to-day, and they need to take themselves out of their environment and experience themselves in a different way. And your coaching program really helps them to do that with the 6 sessions before they go on the hike, and then 4 sessions afterwards. So, one more time, anybody who is thinking about this opportunity, you can't wait, because you've actually got a whole series coming up. You said it starts this week or next?
We're starting our first session next week. Yeah.
All right.
I'm putting a timeline on Friday so that I can find out from everybody this weekend. We're going to all coincide our schedules together. Remember, we're a little family unit here. So it's a really beautiful thing being in that family unit. So, you know, if people could let me know by Friday, that would be great.
Okay. Talking with Sarah, who is she owns a company called Live Boldly Coaching, LLC. And you can contact her at 414-698-8899. Or you can email her at liveboldlycoaching@gmail.com. And Sarah, this is an exciting program for you. I wish you the best, and I want to hear about other opportunities that my listeners may have to join your pack here. So keep me posted, would you?
Absolutely. I do have one coming up in December and then another one in January. But I'm still working out specifics on that. So, I absolutely will. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. get to see these kinds of opportunities. And you know, I think therapy is absolutely the best, but coaching mm-hmm. helps people to take their life to the next level. And what you're offering people is an opportunity to experience that. And when they're feeling shame and trauma and pain, it really can be an opportunity to get in touch with your strengths, your perseverance, and your determination. So I highly
Absolutely.
Recommend that my listeners consider getting to be a part of this program. Sarah, keep us posted on what you're doing, okay?
I absolutely will, Carol. Thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that you certainly took an opportunity to take what could have been a very, very, very devastating situation, and you made it your own, and you're carrying it forward and doing that 12-step stuff of, you know, giving back. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate it.
You have
thank
a good
you.
One.
You
All
too.
Right.
Have a great night. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. We are talking with Sarah Schulting-Krantz, and she has the Living with Boldly coaching program. And I cannot emphasize how important that program is to taking your life to the next level. And that is, you know, that's what we're here to do. You know, this is not a dress rehearsal. And so it's so important to really look at your life, ask yourself, what do you want, and then figure out a way to get it. You are listening to Carol the Coach. This was Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And as I say at the end of every show, you know, there will only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. We will catch up with you next week. And have a great, great, wonderful week. Talk to you soon.